I'm Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode number 5, and this week I'm back for part 2 of my talk with Jean, the messy mum on Instagram. We talk about how to find great free resources for any subject. We talk about how to get the most out of social media as home ed parents, and Jean leaves you with a ton of great summer reading to inspire the coming academic year. And now, on with the podcast.
So I think our typical day, because during our week, we do have things that we go to. So if it's a day where we're going to a group, then we get up, we get ready, we have breakfast, we go. So, but a typical home day for us is everyone just wakes up naturally. So Anya can have those lions if she wants them. And we tend to have a really slow early morning. You know, we snuggle up. I must admit the TV is on in the mornings a lot. Which is fine for us. You know, a lot of families don't do it, but there's some that do. And actually, Zoe really loves to snuggle up on the sofa, watch some cartoons, eat some toast. You know, I get to look at the news and have a coffee and wake up. And it's nice to have those slow mornings, because during the week, we sometimes have, you know, busy mornings to get out and get on. So those slow mornings are lovely. On good days, the weather, you know, when the weather's nice, our back door's always open, so the garden is always free for them to run out into whenever they feel like it. And they basically follow their interests on our home days. The toddler plays and, you know, we kind of play pretend, and Anya sometimes gets involved and it turns into a big family game. But Anya also has her own agenda during kind of home days. There's a lot of books. She does coding online, she does crafts, she does have workbooks that she likes. If she hits a point where she's, you know, that I'm bored, or where she's kind of uninspired or just flitting around, and then I'll step in and we'll kind of go, right, should we do a bit of this geography workbook together, or shall we watch this YouTube video that I saved, or, you know. So we're very, on our days at home, we're very child-led. My kids do have a bedtime, although it's never strictly adhered to. But, you know, Zoe kind of hits tired at 8 and Anya's there between 9 and 10. So I know a lot of kind of unschooling families sometimes don't have a bedtime and things. But it works for us, you know, because otherwise they would all be up till midnight and then the next day would go completely out the window. So we do need a kind of guideline to work to, so that we keep functioning. But no, our home days just tend to be really slow, and, you know, we're outside as much as possible. We'll go down to the park, we'll read books, we'll watch YouTube videos, we'll do workbooks, but it's very child-led, because the days that we're out and about, those aren't so child-led, so we'll be going to groups where whatever's happening is happening. So it's nice to have those days at home where they can just do what they want.
Yeah. So what's going on for home ed in your area?
In South Devon, I think Devon has one of the highest communities of home educators in the country, I heard. So there's an awful, awful lot of us, and there's a lot going on in Devon. We have we have the one-off groups that happen once a month, like Tubers, like I was saying, but we have weekly groups. And like you were saying, there's a group every day of the week. If I wanted to be out of the house busy every day of the week, I could be. I'd be exhausted, but I could do it. So we pick and choose. We've been to most of the groups, and sometimes out of the blue, Anya will go, hey, can we go here today? Like, can we go to that group we haven't been to in ages? And normally these groups are very community based. So it's just families getting together and hanging out. And there might be a project that the kids are working on, or there might be an activity one of the parents has planned, like crafts or something like that. But it's all really gentle and easy. So you can dip in and out of these groups really easily. It's quite often.
Yeah.
None of them are like, you have to come every single week or you'll miss something really important. It's not like that. It's just very, very social. So we've got a lot going on. It's lovely. We have groups that meet up in village halls. We have groups that meet up down at the beach, because we're obviously blessed in South Devon to have two coastlines. Yeah. So So there's an awful lot. We also use the big expense in my week is one day a week Anya goes to a Montessori. It's there's about seven children, so it's a Montessori class for the whole day. So one day a week I have no children. It's like my magic day. I know. And it's, you know, I think if I had a whole week I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
But that one day a week I can just get on top of work that I need to get on top of, or have a me day if I need that. You know, so it's really lucky. It's at the, there's a Montessori nursery that Zoe goes to twice a week. And it's at that nursery. They have a primary age class specifically for home ed children.
That's so cool.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And she learns things there in a way that she doesn't at home, because there's obviously an adult leader. You know, there's a teacher in, I use that in a loose term, because she guides and they do what they want. And but she'll come back all excited, like, I've learnt this and I've learnt that. And it's, and then we'll follow up on it at home, you know, like she was learning about evolution and the beginning of the universe and things like that. So we kind of ran with that at home as well. So it was really lovely. And I must admit that one day a week is a blessing. Because I think that's something that home eders sometimes kind of feel bad admitting as well. It's like, it's not that I want my kids gone 5 days a week. I'd be bored sick, you know, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. But actually, as a home ed parent, you are allowed to say, oh, I wish I had a day to myself every now and then. And that's okay. You know, we're grown-ups. You're allowed to say, I need a day off. You know, like, that's what, you know, like, my sister sometimes will have the kids so I can get stuff done or have a me day. My mother-in-law is the same. And it's okay to admit that actually 7 days a week with your kids can be overwhelming sometimes. And every now and then you get a day where you think, oh, I just need a break, in the most lovely way, because then I re-energize myself for them. You know, I feel like I'm filling up my cup so that I'm better able to do that with them. So I'm lucky to have that one day where I can do that. But yes, in South Devon, there is an awful lot going on.
I think that's why it's so important to have, like, a home ed community around you, whether it is the people that you meet in your local area. You know, in some respects, you kind of need a combination of both. I think you need the people in your local area that maybe you can, you know, like, well, the kids can come and play at my house and you can have a couple of hours on your own. And then, you know what I mean? You can swap things like that, or just people you can call on and say, you know, I don't know, we have to be out of the house because there's a plumber here, or do you know what I mean? Something or whatever. And then you can just say, well, do you want to meet at the park, or, well, come over to our house, like, come and have lunch with us or whatever.
Yeah, like, my social life has never been so busy. I think that's one of the things that I didn't, it was the kind of added benefit that I wasn't aware was going to come, was that, you know, at the school gates, you wave goodbye to your kids, you say hello to a couple of mums, but then you all kind of separate up and go off into your own lives. Whereas with home ed groups, you get the chance to, you know, often sit and have a coffee while the kids play, and you get to chat and really get to know people. And I have got some amazing, amazing friendships out of home education. Yeah. And I think it's a really lovely connection to have with people. You know, like, Zoe needed to go to the doctors the other day because she had like an ear infection or something. And it was a day that Tubers was on, you know, so I needed to get Anya to Exeter at the same time as getting Zoe to the doctors. Yeah. And so I called my friend. I was like, you're going, can Anya come as well? So she took Anya. And it's nice to have those people that you can call upon in times of kind of, I need to get this sorted. So that community is so important. I don't know of any home education family in my area or anywhere really who stick to themselves, don't see any other families, hide away, because it's not about that. That community is such a wonderful thing to belong to, and it's so important.
Yeah, and there's enough of them, you know, there's enough home educators that you might go to a group and not click with people.
Yes.
Or it might take a while, but there's somewhere else you can go. You know, your people are out there. You just have to take a bit of time to find them, you know.
It is about finding your tribe. You know, like, I was lucky, one of the first home ed groups I went to in Exeter, was my tribe. You know, these people were my kind of people, and they were doing things, you know, in a way that really suited us. And they were all really friendly and lovely. But equally, we've had people come to that group who've said, oh, no, it's just not for me. I didn't click. And that's fine, because there's groups, there's multiple groups every single day. You know, we have to decide which group do we want to go to today. There's three, you know, like happening in different parts of our of South Devon. You know, we can go into Mid Devon and North Devon, and there's even more. So it's, you will find your people. And it's just a matter of kind of getting out there and getting to the groups and meeting people and socializing. But once you do find them, it's wonderful. It really is. It's like having, you know, that old saying of, you know, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And we don't have that anymore. You know, our extended family often live in different areas of the country sometimes, if not the world now, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, when you belong to a home ed community, it is like that. You know, there was a moment in our first year of home ed where Anya got hurt by another child. And I was with Zoe, and I couldn't reach Anya because I was holding the baby and Anya was crying. And I was about to run down the field to reach Anya when actually this other mum knelt down next to her, and she could see that Anya was having a really rough time. She was really sad, crying. She was really upset. And this other mum helped her, and she dealt with her in the way that I would deal with her. Yeah. And it was just so nice to have that trust that, yeah, she's got it. She's helping Anya. You know, Anya wandered up to me sniffling. She's like, oh, it's okay. She helped me. It's fine. And it's lovely to have that trust in other parents, you know, to feel like a community where we understand each other's children. Yeah. You know, we have children in some groups that, you know, have learning disabilities or are on the spectrum, or, you know, we have a wide variety of children.
Yeah.
You know, and it's lovely that I understand that that kid can get upset, so we need to be a bit gentler. And I understand that if he's having a meltdown, we leave him alone, or, you know, we understand each other's children, which is wonderful. You know, it's really lovely that I know that people understand her the way I understand her, and that if she's, you know, if she's out for the day without me, because she'll join other families to do stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, we're going here. Do you want, can we bring Anya? You know, I know that if she had a really rough time or something, they know how to help her in a way that suits her. So it's lovely. That community, once you're really in it, is so welcoming, and so it's like extended family. It's lovely.
And it's that community. That's where you take your bad day.
You
don't take it to the family member who goes, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't be home educating.
Yeah.
You take it to your friends who go, oh, bad day, they suck. Yeah. But you'll be all right tomorrow. It's going to be okay. Like, you know what I mean? They'll point out if they think it's, you know.
I think that's so important. Yeah. I think that's so important. And when people are asking me advice, if they're new to home ed or if they're thinking about home ed, one of the first things I say is, look, get on Facebook. You know, if you don't want to be on Facebook, then don't be on Facebook for any other reason than to join the home ed Facebook groups.
Yeah.
You know, stay off everything else if you want to, but it is such a big thing for home ed groups to organize meetups, to, you know, I'm with local home ed groups, national home ed groups, and international home ed groups on Facebook, who you can ask questions to, who you can organize meetups with. It is a massive worldwide community if you want it to be. And that's one of the first things I tell new people to go to, is join some Facebook groups, find your local home ed groups, and get out there and meet some other families. Because, you know, if one of my friends who asked me about it, she lives up in Bath, so obviously I've got no idea what's going on a few hundred miles away from me. So I'm like, get together with your local group. And already, you know, I've seen on Instagram, where I follow her, she's getting out there and she's doing loads of exciting stuff, and it's just from joining some of those groups and joining community and throwing yourself into it.
Yeah, you just have to do it.
Yeah, it's I think for kind of introverts, it can be, you know, because there's a lot of kind of understanding now about people who are extrovert and introvert. I think I'm using the right words. Yeah. and if you're kind of a little bit shy, which is fine to be as an adult, it can sometimes be a bit nerve wracking, and it can sometimes take you a bit longer to find the right groups for you. But it is, I think it's so important to get out there and meet those people.
that's why it ends up being a balance. You want to have days where maybe you're going out and you're trying new groups, or you're meeting people and meeting people again and all that kind of thing. And then,
yeah.
But you need to balance that with the quieter days.
Yeah.
Being able to potter about and giving your kids the space to do their own thing.
Yeah.
So they're not overwhelmed either.
Yeah, we've found, like, obviously when I first started, you know, you go at it with gusto, you're all excited, and
yeah.
You know, and you go to every single group under the sun, and very quickly everyone's exhausted and crying. So and some families can be super busy and they're all happy with that, and some families just do one or two groups a week because that's their balance, that's yeah. their family rhythm, that's their weekly rhythm, and you just need to find the rhythm that's right for you and your kids, and it will change. You know, our rhythm at the moment is quite slow because we have a three-year-old who, if I take her out 7 days a week, mm-hmm. she's never going to sleep, she's going to be passing out in the middle of the day, it's going to be a nightmare. But obviously when she's a bit older, we can pace things up a bit if that's what suits them.
Yeah.
So it is finding the balance that works for your individual family, I think.
Yeah, totally. And you've got the time to try stuff out.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to know that from day one.
Yeah, and I think it's so important to know that it's okay to have those days at home, and it's okay to join a group and then go, we just can't do this, and change your mind. No one's going to judge you. You know, that initial group that I found when I first started home educating
yeah.
that was so key in my support system to begin with,
yeah.
we don't go to anymore. We've been twice this year
yeah.
because it's just fallen out of our week. You know, we could pop in every now and then, that would be fine, and we probably plan to, but actually it's fine that it's just fallen out of our normal pattern. So it's you have to be, I think that's a really important skill to have as a home educator, is to have that flexibility and realize it's okay to flit in and out of things and to change your mind. And that's why you should, I truly believe, you should not buy a curriculum before you really, really know what suits you and your kids. I hear so many stories of families finding a curriculum that they adore, buying it, spending hundreds of pounds on mm-hmm. it. See, I've never bought a curriculum. I go for free resources as much as possible.
Yeah.
But and then going, it just doesn't suit us. It's too much, or it's not enough, or, you know, and it's, you know, it's so easy to do, to get overexcited and buy all the things. But actually, don't buy all the things. Just take it slowly until you find, like I said, how I felt like I knew Anya again. I know her more now.
Yeah.
It took me a while to know her again. So I couldn't have bought any proper expensive resources before that, because it would have been a waste. I didn't know what her pattern was. I didn't know what suited her. So
yeah, totally.
Taking it slow is fine.
Well, speaking of resources, do you have any resource recommendations for home ed parents?
I wrote a list.
Yay!
I suppose for me, it's free as much as possible.
Yeah.
So the important one for me is YouTube, Pinterest, your local library, go to Facebook and join as many of the groups as you want to. And Instagram, bizarrely, because if you type in hashtags like home education or homeschool, because home education is huge in America,
yeah.
So homeschool is what it's called over there, you can follow other families and see what they're doing. And it is absolutely fine to steal other people's ideas. You know, if you see a home ed family doing something that looks awesome, steal that idea. That's great. No one minds, you know, no one minds tomorrow you're going to be doing that science experiment. That's why we all share what we're doing.
Well, to be honest, if you're going to steal something, you can even just message the person and say, oh, we're totally doing that tomorrow. And
yeah.
they'd appreciate it. Like, no one's going to go, no, no, no. They're showing you because they want to say, hey, we had fun doing this. You do it as well.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. And when you get those messages going, oh my goodness, I hadn't thought of that, that's an awesome idea, that's great. You just feel like, oh yeah, I did something great today and someone else noticed, that's brilliant. You know, it's wonderful to be able to share your ideas like that, or share resources you found. You know, like I said, YouTube, because obviously YouTube is enormous and there's videos about everything.
Yeah.
And all you need to do is type in photosynthesis for kids. Mm-hmm. The Iron Age for kids. If you add for kids after any topic, you are going to get hundreds of videos. And from those videos...
I was going to say, these days you get really good, quality, like, content as well. It's not somebody, you know, like, you get really good animation content, and like, there are so many channels out there that are just making,
that's what I was just about to say, is from those just few searches, you'll find channels that, you know, a big one for us when we first started was SciShow Kids, which has animation and a live, you know, a live person as well. And her videos, SciShow Kids, are fantastic. They explain, you know, complicated science things. It covers a lot of science, but in a really fun, engaging way for young children. And, you know, BBC Bite Size still exists. I remember using BBC Bite Size when I was doing my GCSEs. Very long time ago now. But that still exists. BBC Bite Size is still a website, and they have a YouTube channel, which is BBC Teach. And that covers everything through Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2. And they have videos, they have different playlists. So they have all the history, and they have all, like, every subject is covered near enough. So yeah. YouTube is fantastic. Pinterest is obviously amazing and can steal all your time if you let it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I type in Montessori toddler, you know, and loads comes up. Or you can type in something really specific and something will come up. And that's a really good way to find websites that actually, I'm going to look at the rest of this website because they've got some fantastic resources. So obviously, if you've got the ability to type stuff below this podcast, I can give you a list of kind of all the different websites that I use regularly and things. But it is, you'll find your own as well. You'll find, you know, I literally just yesterday found MrPrintables.com.
Oh.
And yeah, all of this stuff is free. It's just tons of printables, loads of games and crafts and, you know, like letter cards, which are going to be great for Zoe learning her letter sounds.
Yeah.
And they've got stuff for older kids as well. And it's all completely free, and it's incredibly, incredibly high quality. You know, I would be expecting to pay for something that looks that good. You know, and you've got things like Scratch, which is for coding, and Khan Academy, which started out as just teaching. It was like a free teaching of maths. But as Khan Academy has grown, NASA has got lessons on Khan Academy. Other kind of companies have come in and said, oh, we want to put a course about ancient history on Khan Academy. So he's, you know, this guy who started Khan Academy has really grown it, and it's all free. There's so much free learning and free resources on the internet. It's fantastic. And it's just from a little bit of googling, maybe ask on a Facebook group. You know, I'm often on a national Facebook group, I'll say, look, we're looking at Stone Age at the moment. Does anyone have any websites or resources or anything? And quite often people will start saying, oh, look at this website, it's great, or this YouTube channel's fantastic. So you'll very quickly build up your resources as well.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming sometimes because there is actually so much out there. I think one thing that I found that I quickly did was figured out what, not that we necessarily stick to what year Anya would be in, because she's ahead in maths, but she's probably behind a bit in science. So you kind of go for what suits them at that time, not necessarily what year group they are.
Yeah.
But because a lot of resources are American, it is handy to know what grade your child would be in America.
I can never remember. I had to actually print out a list and then just like write
it
down.
Google it. Every time I just Google it. I'm just like, what grade would she be in? But that just helps me kind of, because she's there or thereabouts on grade, so or year. So it helps me to kind of identify the right resources for us when I'm searching and things. Sometimes you'll have American resources where spellings will be slightly different and things.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, maths is maths, whether it's American maths or English maths, you're kind of, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
So the internet is just huge for us. But you've obviously still got the library. Go to the library, pick up some books. They love that. So we still, although a lot of our teaching comes from the internet and printables and online resources, we still try to do real life stuff as well, you know, try to write a, we have, you know, a dictionary in the house. It very rarely gets looked at, but you know, dictionaries, the thesauruses, you know, information books, we still go out there and we still come back from the library with way too many books. So for us, those resources, but buying stuff, I've bought the odd kind of worksheet kind of collection that looked nice and stuff, but we don't use anything like a curriculum or anything like that at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, we do buy workbooks. You know, WH Smith tends to have a really good selection of workbooks from various different companies. So we have workbooks for certain topics. And it was just about, you know, I flicked through them and picked whichever one I thought was the best. But we've picked up lots of things from car boot sales and charity shops as well.
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised what people give away or what people are willing to sell out of the boot of their car.
Yeah, totally. I think one thing I would say about, like, Instagram and Pinterest and things is, like, don't be afraid to, if something makes you feel bad, like, unfollow it. Do you know what I mean? Like you can find so much stuff and so many people to be really inspired by. And sometimes I think one of the things we have to learn as home educating parents is, like, if it starts sort of drifting into kind of like envy, or do you know what I mean? Like, when you start sort of going, oh well, they're just, you know, or you start feeling bad about yourself because someone else seems to have this like perfect Instagram where everything looks fantastic, mm-hmm. or, you know, like just a million Pinterest things, it's like, step away for a while.
I think we can all totally get that, and it's, you know, it's the same outside of home education, it's the same people, you know, some of your Facebook friends, sometimes you're thinking, she on holiday again, blimey, she's got an awesome life. You know, she's not sharing her bad days. She's not sharing the days where the kids threw up. And, you know, like, we all have those bad days, but no one really shares them all the time on social media, because I think it's just, it's social media is, we all share loads of positive stuff. But I completely agree, there have been pages that I've unfollowed for similar reasons. I'm thinking, you know, I can't afford to do all the stuff they're doing, you know, and it is that envy can sometimes sneak in, and you're thinking, yeah, I need to take a break because I'm just feeling bad about my life, because my life isn't as pretty as their life, you know.
and sometimes you can't explain it. Like, sometimes it's just like, you just, in the way you can really click with somebody, sometimes you just really don't click with somebody else. And it's like, I think their stuff looks great, but actually I think for my sanity, I need to just let them get on with them and just not look at that anymore. And you know, the reason I bring it up is just, that is completely fine. We all go through that. Like,
yeah.
Just like, don't let yourself get caught in a comparison trap, because, you know, it's their highlight reel. You can't.
That's
compare,
exactly, you know. Yes. It's a great tool as a home educator, because we all share what we're doing. You know, if we're on there, we're sharing kind of what we're doing, what we're, you know, the things that we're seeing. And it's lovely to kind of get ideas and be inspired and things like that. But like you said, it's a highlight reel. You know, very rarely do any of us go, you know, I do on purpose, because I'm quite aware of it. I purposefully post pictures or stories saying, oh my goodness, today's gone terribly wrong, you know, this has happened, that's happened, you know, because I want to show the whole experience.
Yeah.
I want to share nearly my whole life, you know. I you know, there's always going to be things that are private, but you know, if I've just had a rubbish day with the kids, I'll happily go on to, because I really enjoy Instagram, I'll happily go onto my Instagram stories and go, guys, today's been awful. And I think, you know, it's, for me, it's important to share all those kind of aspects, so people realize that, you know, we are real people. We still have normal lives where things go wrong and things don't go to plan. And, you know, your child's drawn all over the walls, which has happened more times than I'm happy with. So, but yeah, I think it's important to go, this is a highlight reel. This is her best bits. And that's great. But try and remember, she has rubbish days too. You know, she's left the lid off her NutriBullet before and it's all gone flying. You know, we've all, you know, we have those bad days too. But But yeah, I think social media for me is a great way to connect and get more ideas and inspiration and stuff. Sometimes I find it's a kick up the butt as well. Sometimes I'll follow some people, I'll flick through someone's Instagram page and I'm like, oh, I could totally be doing that. Why am I not doing that? And it just gives me a kick up the butt. So I go, yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, so it can be a real push as well sometimes. But the moment you start feeling negatively about it or start feeling bad about it, you should definitely step away.
Yeah, totally. So book recs.
Kids books, obviously, are just kids books. You know, I don't have any recommendations for kids books because read everything. Read anything that your kid is interested in, whether it's fluffy stuff that you think isn't particularly good. If your kids are getting pleasure from it and they're reading it, then fantastic. But as an adult learning about home education, especially kind of starting out, I have a pile of books in front of me. I knew you were going to ask this question. So I literally just went to my various bookcases and pulled out some of my favourites. The first book I ever read about home education is from an Australian mum who I know, who was like, you totally need to read this book. This will make you love it. Is Project-Based Homeschooling by Laurie Pickerett. And it's mentoring self-directed learning. And that was a really lovely introduction to kind of one of the ways that you can help children to learn. And it's got loads of pictures and loads of activities. And it's a really gentle, lovely book about kind of one way of learning. If you're kind of sitting on the wall with home ed, a couple of books that I read that really kind of solidified it for me was Dumbing Us Down, The Hidden Curriculum of Compulsory Schooling by John Taylor Gatto, which is a fantastic book talking about it. It is based on American schooling, but the American school system and European school system, they're all very similar. You know, kids are sitting in classrooms for 8 hours a day or whatever. So it's still, you can read this book that's written about kind of American schooling and see tons of similarities with our school system. So that was a really good one for me to kind of solidify in my mind the reason why I was doing this. And there's a book here called The Teenage Liberation Handbook.
Oh, I haven't read that, but I've heard of it.
I haven't read it all. So it's probably naughty of me to be, I've got a secondhand copy and I've just found loads of notes in the back of it. some teenager obviously reading it and making notes at the same time. I love this bit on the back. It says, do not, under any circumstances, share this book with a bright, frustrated high schooler being ground into mind fudge by the school system. And it said, this is a very dangerous book. It contradicts all the conventional wisdom about dropouts and the importance of formal education. It is funny and inspiring, but it's fantastic. It's about kind of educating yourself outside of the school system. It's about what the school system is doing to teenagers specifically, that school is not for learning, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to kind of light a fire under yourself, those two books, Dumbing Us Down and The Teenage Liberation Handbook, are really good for you to go, blimey, there is a reason for us to step away from this system and do this a different way. And then I've got things like Raising Lifelong Learners by Lucy Calkins, which was just a really lovely book about kind of different ways of helping them to learn to read, you know, develop good habits, just gentle ways of guiding them to become learners. At the moment, I'm reading a really nice book called Reclaiming Childhood in a Hostile World, which isn't specifically about home education. It's for teachers and parents, really, to help children kind of keep hold of that childhood and respect their right to a childhood in a different way from the way many children are living at the moment. It's a really, really lovely book. And a completely non-home ed book, but one that was like a Bible to me when I read it, is Laura Vanderkamp, 168 Hours You Have More Time Than You Think. if you're concerned about timekeeping and fitting everything into your life, you know, housekeeping, running the house, running a life, multiple children most of the time, you know, paying your bills, doing all your chores, all that kind of stuff, and home education, this is a really good book to help you kind of realize the time that you do actually have. 168 hours is how many hours there are in a week. So that's a, it's not a home ed book, but it's, yeah, it's a great one for very busy people who want to cram a load into their week and are worried that they're not going to. So, for me, that's the books that I grabbed this morning that I thought were good ones to start with. But there's tons, there's loads and loads of books out there. It's definitely worth asking for recommendations on Facebook pages, because there are a few out there that you might think, blimey, that was rubbish. So, and it's, you know, there are going to be books if you're, you know, we're humanists, so we haven't got religion in this, you know, we learn about religions and cultures, but we're not religious ourselves. So personally, I wouldn't be reading books about religious homeschooling or home education. But there are books out there that you can find that do have a religious slant and that can help kind of guide you on how to work that into home ed. So it's just about finding the right books for the way that you're going to be doing things. Yeah. You know, I've got books by Montessori as well, mm-hmm. Because I have a three-year-old, the Maria Montessori way of doing things suits us really well for her, along with Waldorf. But there's so much out there. There's a lot more than you'd expect. I think we're not so underground anymore.
No, not at all. It's just having the time to read them all, isn't it?
It really is. That's why the first book I read was 168 hours. It's like, yeah, how am I going to fit in the hours I need to read all these books? Yeah. So it's a good place to start.
It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Oh, where, you too.
Where can people find you online?
The Messy Mum. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Pinterest as The Messy Mum.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Have a lovely day.
And you.
Bye-bye.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talked about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast. This is episode number 5. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, as this helps more people to find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. And I'll be back with episode 6 in 2 weeks. Until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.